All right.
What is the product that I work with working at LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Probably not too dissimilar, I would think, from others. There's a mix of general networking requests, job seekers, salespeople that think I might be a buyer for what they're offering, and then in general, just people in my network that want to get back in touch about a specific subject. So I'd say it's a combo of those four things.
Yeah. Have you, or are you saying anything, Tim? what is it like to kind of get a message from someone who is not really in your orbit? Do you want to start us off, Tim?
Oh, I sort of dig that. I love when we have, there's a quote I'm going to do. Betty White said, "Why do people always say grow some balls? You want to get tough, you grow a vagina. Now that thing takes a pounding." Now, you guys, I think what I'm saying is, you guys have to, we don't need balls. We got tough with JJ. Go for it. I love when people contact me. I think it's great. I mean, that's how you have to do it. You have to really go for it. So I love it. And part of the question earlier was, because I do some early stage investing for female founders, I'm really big on women's empowerment. I wrote a book that supports women. So my inbox is full of, people wanting to be invested, but I also love when they want advice or they need something. I like it, I support it. That's what I'm about, so.
And yeah. Going back to the LinkedIn bots, there's what I do for a living, and then there's what I'm passionate about, which is content creation, finding new talent. So my inbox is full of the people who are doing what I want to do, not necessarily what I do, and then I'm just looking at them. What articles are they reading? What LinkedIn Learning? What are they doing on LinkedIn Learning? And a lot of my inbox is also full of filmmakers reaching out to me. That's my LinkedIn. In terms of people, 9 out of 10 of the people that approach me are independent filmmakers. I love talent. I love finding new talent. I love hearing stories. But for that 1 out of 10 that's just completely out of my orbit, I'm excited about them too, because I think everybody has a journey and a story, and I'd love to hear it.
How often do you respond?
I respond all the time. Oh. I actually have time carved out in my day to respond to people, because that's the connection right there. You never know what's gonna lead to something else. Plus, I like it when people respond to me, so I'm just trying to continue to pay that forward. So, it might take me a couple of days. I mean, any given day, I'll probably get about 100 or so emails or LinkedIn requests, and I set aside about 2 hours on a Sunday to go through one.
Wow.
One little tidbit I'll share about LinkedIn for those of you that do respond to in-mails that you receive, so whether that's a recruiter or a salesperson using the in-mail functionality, that means they can message you without being a connection of yours. If you do respond, then recruiters who use our product can see that you are more likely to respond, and it makes them more likely to reach out to you. So the more you respond, the better it is for your brand, and they can see that you're a responsive member.
That's a great tip.
Wow, yeah, I had no idea that happened. going off of that, what makes you all respond? Like, what are some of the things that stand out that when people reach out that comes across as authentic or makes you feel like you can contribute to them the right way?
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to your adding value point where, if someone cold calls me or cold pings me or emails me, and there's something in there, any kind of a tidbit of how do they know me? How did they find me? I saw you speaking at a WIT event. I, know you through this person or that person, or we worked together at, Sony or somewhere else. That's, 100% much more likely to catch my eye and get a response immediately than somebody who's just like, hey, I just want to be in your network and there's nothing attached to it. So, I think that, adding that little extra tidbit about yourself, it takes one additional second, makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, exactly. I also noticed when we did the question about what's the one word that you think of with networking, I saw this table was like, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of vulnerable and that kind of stuff. And so I'm kind of curious, I mean, let's show a little vulnerability here. You know, like what intimidates you about networking and kind of asking your network for things? You want to start us off?
I think what was so great about our table is that we were up here, but being vulnerable and being nervous and being intimidated is something we all feel. So I was really excited to feel, just because you're up on a panel doesn't mean we don't have our own insecurities inside. And it's definitely something I discuss a lot. We all get insecure, we all have dysfunction. And if you know that you already have that in common, it's much easier to approach someone else. And let me tell you right now, from a girl that spends most of her career networking and building connections and relationships, no one wants to be alone. So save them and walk up to them. No one wants to be alone. We want to be included. So you're feeling that, but so is the other person you're scared to walk up to. So we want connection. That's human. And we all have the same scary feelings inside.
We also talked about how it's like exercise. It's a muscle. It's painful at first, and you kind of keep working it, and you get better at it, and it gets easier, and it gets easier, and it gets easier. But you have to take that first step, and it's not, you know, when Nadia first approached me for this panel, I was like, what? I hate networking, really? But, you know, you have to do it. It's part of, I look at it as part of my work. I do have to do it in order to get my job done. And, you know, whether it's working at a studio or working at a vendor or, you know, engaging with new strategic partnerships, you have to network or you won't be able to bring as much value to your job. And so, you know, I went to business school and I chose the school that I went to specifically based on who had the biggest network and, you know, who would I be able to, because certainly there's, you know, I have my own network of people that I know and I trust and I've worked with. But you know, you're only as good as, you know, the extension of that, and you know, you're exponentially more powerful if you have a very, very robust network to cull from. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I know that Nadia and Rachel and I have talked about is empowering this room and this network of people and making sure that, you know, we have a searchable database of people in this room. You know, we didn't have to have a raise your hand ceremony to find out that there were three people visiting from London, you know? So things like that where, you know, if we can have, you know, a width database that is searchable, you know, if you're doing a job search, and by the way, networking is not just about job search, it's about everything else in between as well, whether you're looking for a promotion, whether you're, you know, running into a brick wall of work, whatever have you. You know, it's utilizing that network of people who, you know, there are gonna be a ton of people who've run into the same situation as you, who have very creative ways of dealing with what you're going through, but you need to be able to find those people. And, you know, LinkedIn is a wonderful, wonderful tool to find people like that. But what's even more powerful than having a group of women who already are like-minded and to be able to go in there and find somebody from Warner Brothers, you know, from Sony, wherever it is, and, you know, who is in IT, who can then introduce you to the next person that you're looking for, whether it be for a job contact or not. But having something like that come up, I know that they're working on this diligently right now, and, you know, we'll be able to, you know, throw something out there for you guys to sign up on. But, you know, as long as you have an opt-in network where you know somebody has opted in to say, I am happy to help you. I may not know you, but we run in the same circles and I am here to help you. That's a great, great powerful tool to have that you don't have to have gone to a fancy business school to get.
Love it, that sounds like an amazing resource. So before we get into success stories, I'm curious if you all have done any, like, you know, lessons from the hard knocks of maybe approaching someone the wrong way or botching some sort of networking situation. Does anyone have any sort of, let's hear a horrible story, yes.
So I go to events like this, and to be honest, you know, sometimes I have a target list of people that I'm trying to meet, and you throw something out in the universe and it comes back to you. I ended up sitting at the exact table with the person that I wanted to meet and did not do enough homework. She had, you know, some different things going on that I really could have talked to her more about, and instead it ended up being, you know, kind of a hello, and then she was off to the next person, And then I realized later that the position that was listed on her LinkedIn wasn't updated. So, but if I had done a little bit more homework, I could have saw that she was, you know, someone that could have been in a position to really help me with what I was trying to do at that moment. And I had a lot of contacts I could have helped her with, but I didn't do quite enough homework, and I was sitting right there, so it was a missed opportunity.
Dang, yeah. How many of you do research on who's going to be in the room before you go to an event? Wow, this is actually a lot more than I thought. That's amazing. Does anyone have any tips on and how do you do that to research generally?
How do I research?
Yeah.
Well, I look at who's going to be there, and I look it up on LinkedIn, and I Google just all the regular ones.
Well, if you can get an attendee list, that's always key. That's not always
the speaker
easy to
list.
Get. The speaker list is always a good start. I had a situation where I was at a conference, and I walked up, someone introduced me to someone, and I said hello, Tammy Halsman. He's like, yeah, my name's Jerry. We met a number of times. That usually doesn't happen to me. I really try to remember people, and I was, oh, he just called me out in front of other people. I was traumatized. And I was like, give me that Chardonnay down there. I'm like, here's the deal. I said, we might have met before. I should be really honest. I said, but we've never connected. Because after talking to him for a few minutes, it turns out he's my neighbor. And he's like, he has a vineyard. I don't forget people that have vineyards. I was like, we have met. We've never had a conversation. And I will promise you right now, I will never forget you again. But because I was funny about it, and I was loving, and I was honest, and I apologize, I swear to God, I said, I am so sorry. Just straight out, I am sorry. And ever since, I was like, became his new favorite person. Vineyard invites, the whole kit and caboodle. Make sure she's on this list, that list. But he was just owning it, and and thank God for the Chardonnay. I'm down. You know, I have so many stories on it, like crazy.
Oh,
but you know.
Did you have a question back there?
I just have a statement. I walked in today and said to Nina, "How's MGM?" And Nina said, "Warner Brothers."
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys a question because this feels like it's coming up and it feels like kind of in your world. I could care less if someone gets something wrong I did. I don't even care if they call me the wrong name. This is, I'm guessing the person that you had said that to didn't care. They're just happy that you were made an effort and you walked up to that person. And we are so judgmental about ourselves, and we're so hard on ourselves, but we're all human, and most of us really, check in your ego at the door, because that's not about building relationships. So I'm guessing when we make these mistakes, like it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. I think, those moments always haunt me, like days after the fact, and I'm sure that they have forgotten, like seconds after. Let's take the flip side, okay? When have you gotten in contact with someone who was out of your league?
Take us off?
I have a recent one.
All right.
I'm not going to share the company name because I don't want the person I pseudo-stalked to feel awkward, but there's a company that I am very brand loyal to. So I work in HR at LinkedIn, and at LinkedIn we do a number of executive engagements where we invite senior execs from different companies to come in, and I happen to be on a distribution list where I see the different execs who come in and who's speaking and what have you, and I noticed that the head of HR from this company that I'm a total fangirl of was going to be there. So I basically emailed our head of HR and the gal who runs the event and said, look, here's my situation, here's how much I love this company, I just want to meet the head of HR and introduce myself. And they were like, oh, okay. And basically, the girl that runs the event said, probably best to come at this time frame, right as they're breaking for the end. And I just thought, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to hustle. I'm just going to change my schedule to be at that conference room right as they're breaking. I didn't know what she looked like. I kind of saw her LinkedIn picture, but I just started buzzing around the room, found her name tag, and just walked up and introduced myself. Told her a little bit about what we have in common and why I love her company and how loyal a customer I am. And she immediately was like, oh, let's connect on LinkedIn, and here's my card. I was like, oh, yes, I know. It was very exciting for me. So sometimes you just kind of have to hustle. Of
course, do it in the right way. You don't want to be super obnoxious. I didn't want her to feel as stalked as perhaps I did stalk, but yeah. So it was a successful light stalking.
Stalking is okay. Yeah, stalking is okay. Just don't get carried away. It's good. It's fine.
I have a popcorn story, actually, for how I met somebody who is actually now the head of New Line. So there's a gentleman that works on the other side of the hall from me, and he's always walking around during Boy Scout season selling popcorn. I really didn't want the popcorn, but I could relate to him because I had a daughter in Girl Scouts and I had to do Girl Scout cookies, so I'm like, I'm just gonna buy the popcorn. So I bought the popcorn, and I was giving it to everybody in my building because I wasn't gonna eat it, I just wanted to support him. And you know, it was just very authentic, not looking for anything in return, just wanting to support somebody the way I would want to be supported. And so we started talking, and he was somebody who worked in a whole nother business side. So he's not someone I would have normally connected with. We only connected because I went up to him and got the popcorn. And we started talking, you know, in the hallway, and I started running into him. I probably always ran into him, but there's always that new awareness type thing. So I'm running into him at the Starbucks downstairs, and so he comes up to me, and he's like, you know, I know that you've got this film festival that you do on the side, and you're working here more on a financial, what is it that you really want to do? And so I was talking to him, and he goes, you know, it would be perfect for you to meet Carolyn Blackwood. She's a friend of mine, and she's also, you know, the head of New Line now. And that's how I got to meet somebody that was totally out of my league. And I went to her office. That introduction would have never happened on my own, no matter how much I stalked her through company email. And, you know, went and sat in, met with her, we talked for 45 minutes. It felt like only 5 minutes went by, and it was just a wonderful time. But that connection really happened just because of some popcorn. Buy the popcorn.
Yeah, support the Boy Scouts, add value.
I sat with these girls. There's no one out of any of their leagues. They're all princess warrior goddesses. Not out of the league. We all put our pants on the same way, you guys. They're 70% of successful people have imposter syndrome. They're second-guessing themselves. And we're worried about walking up there second-guessing themselves. Am I going to have the right answers? Am I going to be okay? No one's out of anyone's league in this room. No.
Through the rest of this event, and she's just been amazing. So.
I really didn't care less. I was like, I don't know, as long as I know you're talking to me, I don't care what you're calling.
That's perfect. So here we go, rapid fire question here, okay? Social media when building relationships, friend or foe, go.
Oh, friend. Friends, yeah.
Friend.
All right, we're all friends here, okay. All right, so how do we make sure it's how do we utilize it the right way, and how do we make sure we're not utilizing it in an obnoxious way when networking?
Is it me reaching out or someone reaching to me?
I would say you reaching out.
You know, I'm in the same boat as everyone else. I mean, I go back to my own advice. I reach out and I just say, we should connect over blah, 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 blah. Or I have a mutual friend if it's a cold kind of calling situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Same. I'm going to take the advice that I heard earlier. I always put in the notes how I know that person so that there's that kind of connection, and try to make sure that they remember me. But then also adding value. Usually when I reach out to somebody and I've done my homework, I'm reaching out to them and I'm saying, I can offer this, or I know that you're working on this, can I help you with that? So I always have an offer, I'm never just reaching out to people.
Got it.
My biggest tip is don't make assumptions about people, including the assumption that they're actually the best person for you to talk to. So acknowledge that when you're reaching out. Here's what I'm looking for. Can you help me, or can you point me in the direction of someone who can? I get a lot of requests from people that I actually am not suited to help. And so some acknowledgement of that would make me a lot more inclined to then point them in the right direction rather than making an assumption. So that's one of my suggestions.
Yeah, I think when Madeline and I talked, we talked about, you know, what would make a successful connection, and it was really all of the things that the panelists already discussed, but also, you know, just making sure that you know why you're connecting. You know, the ask for what you want. You don't ask, you don't get. So if you're looking for a very specific thing, can you please connect me? I'm looking at this job posting and I don't know who the recruiter is. Can you connect me to that person? Or if you don't know that person, can you connect me to somebody who does? Be very specific about what you're looking for, because then it gives, you know, very busy executives kind of a yes, I can do that, or no, I can't do that. But, you know, give them an out. If you're pinging somebody, especially if you're pinging somebody cold that you don't already know, or you're pinging somebody in somebody else's network, like a secondary connection, you know, be courteous about sort of, you know, this is a network that somebody has built over time with a lot of effort, probably financially, you know, and is very vested in this network, very protective of. I know that I am of mine. I don't just connect with somebody that I don't know unless, you know, there's some sort of contextual something around it. And, you know, for that, to have somebody just kind of come in and say, hey, can you connect me to so-and-so, just because I can ask for it, you know, make sure that you're specifically asking for what it is that you want and why, and how you know me and why I should be doing this for you, and that will get you 100% more there than you know, just somebody who is like, hey, can you please do this for me?
Yeah, I've actually noticed that, as I'll get some messages where they'll be like, they'll almost be like, kind of, be like, oh, you know, would you help me get a job in project management, or maybe even, you know, human resources, or actually, I would also be interested in potentially business development roles. And I'm like, look, like, I'm happy to help you, but you gotta help yourself first, like, figure this out. So, yeah, I think, and I'm sure I see some nodding heads, so I'm sure that is, you know, sometimes, and we just, you know, we all are wandering, we're all trying to figure out our own ways, so that's not unusual. But yeah, I think when you ask for something that broad, then it puts the work on the other person in there.
And that doesn't mean like the lovely, like, hey, can you get me a job at Sony? Like, that's not the specific ask that we're talking
right.
about.
Right. So I have a quote here by Madeleine Albright, and I'm curious to get y'all's opinion on it. So she said, I think women are really good at making friends and not good at networking. Men are good at networking and not necessarily making friends. That's a gross generalization, but I think it holds in many ways. What do you think? Agree or disagree?
She also has another quote, there's a little place in hell for women that don't help other women. So, I actually think it should be reversed. I think women are highly, much more emotionally intelligent than men. Sorry, guys, for the room. We're all a work in progress. but the one thing is that we all are, is the one gift that girls have is we're really in touch. We really have an easier way to connect, and it's a superpower. We're really naturally empathetic, and I think it feels like it's reversed to me. I feel like women are better networkers when we're willing to take the chance and how good it feels to really connect with people. So I think I want it to be reversed. Let's reverse that.
Reversing it tonight. Any other opinions?
I want it to be reversed also, but I'm going to put a little different twist on it. I think what I find is that men are very good at promoting themselves and taunting themselves, and in that way it's kind of a networking thing, because they're saying, you know, I've got this blah 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 skill and that blah 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 skill, whereas women are a little bit worse at kind of self-promoting themselves and, you know, kind of tooting their home. So we make friends better because we're connecting and we're helpful and, you know, we're wanting to say, what, you know, what can we do for you? And so that,
right.
I think it's a little
bit What true. Was the master goal today? Making friends. So in a way, it could work in our benefit.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cool. That's interesting about self-promotion. How? What's the best way to maybe self-promote yourself in a networking situation? I think a lot of us are concerned about, being a little bit arrogant or you know, we put all these pressures on ourselves. But how do you promote yourself?
I think one great thing that came up at our table that I think Nadia brought up was actually, you know, she says in the 60 seconds, what can you do to promote yourself? Is she brags about other people that she's with. And I thought that was a really masterful way of sort of, you know, getting somebody to then do, you know, tit for tat for you as well. You know, if it's really uncomfortable for you to be like, I'm the master of all things operations, then, you know, you do that for whoever you're talking about or who's in, you know, who's in your sort of communication circle. And then, you know, what comes around goes around and you sort of pay it forward.
That's great advice.
I was gonna say, I just get other people to do it for me.
I make sure
everybody else knows who I am so they can talk and I can just sit back and, you know, have a drink or something.
My suggestion, rather than going into the agenda of how can I self-promote, those opportunities will come up naturally when you seek to understand the other person, right? So you might, in asking questions about the other individual, for instance, what they're passionate about, what they're working on, oh, that's really interesting. I actually have a lot of passion about that topic. I spent a year abroad doing an assignment on that very thing. Would love to talk to you more about that. So I think there are ways you can work your own experiences and passion into the context of a conversation by listening first and looking for those opportunities when you seek to understand.
Right, absolutely. So I'm curious to know kind of like, you know, over the course of your career, you meet so many people, and how do you keep those connections alive? Like, how are you all keeping people in your network and letting them know what you're up to? And do you have some sort of system for that, or is that just kind of, you just figure it out? Like, how do you do it?
I think I'm a yes on social media, which you're probably gonna go into, kind of keeps me in touch with a lot of people, and it's so flattering, and it's so nice when they reach back out, and maybe they're in job transitions, but I think social media has made that really, really invaluable. But I also like the human touch. I mean, I know people are saying put your phones away, or make them, call them and check in on them, call and ask about their family. These connections you have are for life. Jobs can come and go. It's your relationships that are forever. So, you know, you have to make a really big extra effort, but don't stop at social media, or you can send them a note through it, but ask them something personal and check on their family.
Yeah, I have some very genuine connections, and because they're genuine, you know, I know when their kids' birthdays are, I know some things that are going on. If I happen to read an article I might think is interesting to them, I'll forward that to them. So I always try to find a reason to connect with somebody every single month just to make sure I keep that connection alive.
Do you have like their kids' birthdays on the calendar and that kind of stuff?
I do.
Nice.
Google Calendar does help me out.
Oh, nice.
That Facebook birthday thing, forget about it.
I keep up with them and I know what they're working on. Like a coworker of mine has another conference that they're gonna do, so I'm gonna reach out to them before the conference, wish them luck.
Wow, yeah.
Make sure that, you know, that they're doing okay and
that's
that sort of thing. So you just kind of know what they're up to.
That they're gonna do speak at a conference on that day that they're going to the conference, you send them a little note in the morning. That would mean so much to me. That's such a good one.
I'm just going to suggest two things. One, hopefully you're noticing if you are a LinkedIn member and using the app that the product team is trying to do more and more notifications about people in your network so that you'll see if someone's had a job change or a promotion or celebrating a work anniversary. So those are intended for you to have an excuse to reach out and nurture your network so that we can focus more on quality over quantity with the network. My second suggestion would be less of a LinkedIn one. I'm a huge fan of Sean Aker. He's a happiness researcher from Harvard. You can watch his YouTube videos. And one of the suggestions he makes on how all of us can be happier is focusing on some different gratitude exercises, including writing a thank you note to someone with regularity, whether that's a daily thank you note practice, a weekly or a monthly. And whether it's a handwritten note, whether it's through LinkedIn messaging, or whether it's just an email. And by the way, you can access somebody's email address from their LinkedIn profile if you're connected with them, if you don't think they ever check their LinkedIn messaging. So we can talk about that. But yeah, just a thank you note and saying, look, we haven't talked in 6 months, we haven't talked in 2 years, but you've been on my mind, and I really am so grateful to you for this moment in my life, and I haven't forgotten about you. You know, just something of that nature is so personal and human amidst everything that we deal with digitally. So sometimes just a thank you note is a nice practice.
Nice. So I'm gonna turn it over to audience questions in a second. So if there's anything in particular that's a burning question in your mind, yes.
Hopefully.
None, it's all you, Rob.
this is not a question, but I just wanted to you brought up happiness and it seems so perfect. So speaking to, people are out of our league. I had this incident that happened in, I think, March, where I read this book called Solve for Happy by Mo Gawdat, who is the chief business officer of Google X. And I thought, oh, this guy's, totally out of my league. But I loved the book, rocked my world. So I wrote in LinkedIn, when you approach someone that you haven't approached, you've got 300 characters. So I
wish it were longer too.
300 wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And I had no agenda, but I just wanted to fangirl about this book, which just, like I said, it was rocked my world. And so I just, oh my God, this book was amazing, blah, 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 blah. And that was it. And he accepted my request. And he said, oh, I noticed that you, co-founder of Tech Hollywood. I'm like, okay. He accepted my request, great. And he said, I'm gonna be in LA beginning of May. I'd love to meet with you. I'm looking at this, like, oh my God. And we had an event coming up in mid-May. And he said, I'd like to meet with you and your group. But it was like early May. So I wrote back, move your date. I have this big event. There's gonna be 300 or 500 people there. And he said, okay. So he became our keynote speaker for our event in May. And this is a guy who charges $30,000 for a speaking engagement. And we don't have that kind of budget here. we don't have 10% of that. So we bought a few books, that was it. But that was a completely random LinkedIn thing where it was authentic for me to just fangirl about this book. And it just ended up being this incredible speaker for Wit Hollywood. And I just wanted to, endorse the fact that you can, be bold and approach people that think, oh, I'm totally out of my league. But it ended up being, quite amazing.
You guys, it's really lonely at the top. I kid you not. You talk to a lot of C-suite executives, it's really lonely at the top. When the lights go down and they're off the panel and then they're by themselves, it's your duty to keep them company. For sure. But it is a little lonely at the top. There's a question.
Earlier you were saying, what can one do to really network? And I think that what I see often that works the best is speaking at the various, conferences and being on these panels and also on LinkedIn to post, your successes, because that's how headhunters and people will contact me. But the interesting point that I observed, because I was sitting in on the other and then I came late to this, is here we're in a room with all these women, yet the real elephant in the room is the fact that I am a person in technology and so forth, but all of the vendors, almost all the speakers at this whole conference, and I've been doing this space of content protection and anti-piracy for over 25 years, are almost all men. And so I think really at the end of the day, we have to break that to have the solutions. All the people that have been coming up to me the course of today and all at these conferences are always men who have the solutions for brand protection and content security and so forth are men, and the salespeople and so forth. So maybe we need to start supporting maybe women who can program and come up with some solutions as well. We need to really be pushing women on these panels, speaking, rather than all being it's nice that we're all here speaking about this, but we really gotta, as the woman from Facebook says, lean in. We really have to be pushing more to really see the success of women in technology.
We have a few other people on this side. Very well said. We all have to be lifting each other up. I also, someone said to me the other day, which was such an important thing for me to remember, is if you meet a woman who should run for office, tell her. She probably won't run unless some people tell her to. And so I think that, it kind of goes along your line of if a woman should speak on a panel, if she has expertise, if she has a solution, tell her and give her that confidence and let her recognize that in herself.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off of what the lady said there. I work with Gartner, and we work with a lot of women. I support a lot of CIOs and a lot of CXOs, and there are women that are in that space, that own that space, that are leaders in that space. I have, prior to moving, I just moved here from Florida, I had 4 women CIOs. They were all very much involved in leadership and growing and reinvesting into diversity, not just women, but also diversity within technology. One has a nonprofit for children, to teaching them how to code. I'm talking elementary school kids, right? With a specification for young girls and for diversity. So it's there. This is a good start for us to make each other aware, to do the networking, get to know who these other people are, these other leaders that are trying to do that and make a difference. So it's there. Don't think it's not. It's there. Just because you don't see it in the, you know, the sample that you're in within this, like I said, within this conference, you may not see it everywhere, but you walk in here and you see all these women. There are other women, other leaders in that space.
Searchable database. Hello. So my name is Rashida, and this is just a sort of personal story and quick thank you. So my friend Kate brought me here, and she's friends with Catherine. And we were on, I actually called her because I was like, girl, I think I'm gonna sell my Gucci bag. So I was talking to her, and I've been going back and forth about whether I'm gonna stay in LA or if I wanna move and so on and so forth. And I mentioned to her about sometimes how my experience in Los Angeles has been somewhat isolating just from other places that I lived. And she said, hey, you wanna go someplace? I have this thing, my friend is speaking, put on some clothes, get out the house, we are going someplace. So I just wanna say thank you to everyone in here who's added value to my day and my experience, and I feel less isolated after coming here and meeting all of you.
How are we doing on time, Rachel and Nadia? Couple more minutes? Okay, cool. We have another hand up over here.
I just want to say that often I'm so busy looking to see who can help me and who I can network with and who so busy doing my job, I forget to take credit for myself and give myself a pat on the back and tell myself that I'm there because I put myself there. And really take credit for what I do. I'm convinced that what I do can only come from other people, but it's not. We have to stop and take credit for ourselves and how we get ourselves places and how we keep ourselves places. So.
All right. So I know one thing that people love is kind of walking away with some resources. So first of all, I mean, the first resource you should have is Tammy's book, which is sitting out there. See student to see suite, you gotta read it. What are some other, like, maybe organizations or anything that you think that would be great for people to get involved in to grow their network? Diana?
I think, you know, in terms of growing your network and making a meaningful connection, it needs to be authentic. So I would tell people to reach out to different organizations that serve causes that they really believe in. I am on a few different, I'm involved with a few different networks. My favorite one is Gina Davis Institute on Media. And that's because we're on the exact same page. I started a film festival because I wanted to see more equality of women both on screen and behind the screen. And the Gina Davis Institute is on that same page in terms of being the only data research driven organization out there that is reaching out to other entertainment companies to make sure that there is this equality on the screen. But, you know, that's me. I can't tell people exactly what organization they should be in. You just have to do your homework and try to find something that you can connect to, because then you're going to connect to other like-minded women and have that, you know, authentic connection.
Awesome. I'll, of course, throw out some LinkedIn tips. You wouldn't expect anything less. So one is, we have a new feature a few months ago now, the Career Advice Hub, where you can either request career advice or give career advice, because we're all suited to do one or the other. So I would encourage you to check that out. It's in the spirit of not being afraid to ask for help. Put that out there. Second is something that Madeline mentioned earlier with regard to the ability to connect, not only the QR code thing, but turning on under the connections the Find Nearby, and doing that tonight is just a very quick and easy way to immediately connect with people that you've met tonight. So it's under Find Nearby when you click on the Connections tab on your app. And then I'm just a huge fan of, if I put it on the calendar, it's a lot more likely for it to happen. So when you go to an event like this, you know, the one or two people that you want to make sure you stay in touch with, put something on your calendar for 2 months out as a reminder to follow up with that person if something organic hasn't happened naturally, and force yourself into that kind of rhythm and accountability to, again, deepen your connections.
Such a good idea. Yeah, I always forget to follow up. Cool. And then database.
Searchable database. No, I'm a big fan. I mean, LinkedIn is basically, I mean, it's a big searchable database, right? So we know that it works, but I think, you know, when it's a little bit more targeted, like an alumni network or a Whit Hollywood sort of, you know, connection, I think it's that much closer because you know it's not a cold call.
All right. Well, how about we give these ladies a round of applause?
Thank you so much. That was so fantastic. I appreciate it. I wish I could have been up here the whole time. Hi, everybody. I've got Finley.